Welcome to today's deep dive. We know you are always looking to learn something new, to stay ahead of the curve, but we also know you want to completely avoid the exhaustion of information overload.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No, definitely not. So today we are promising you a fascinating, highly focused exploration into a radical shift in technology that is happening right under our noses.
It really is.
We are pulling back the curtain on a company called Duraticular. And specifically, their entirely new product line called Sovereign Automation.
It's a fascinating subject, and to really get to the bottom of it, we're drawing on an incredibly unique stack of sources today.
We really are. We have a comprehensive research report on the company, but more importantly, we've obtained highly confidential, internal, single source of truth or SSOT products documents.
Straight from Duraticular's development divisions, which is rare.
Extremely rare. And to top it off, we have a set of their actual internal visual design prompts, which really help bring this hardware to life. Our mission for this deep dive is to explore how exactly Duraticular is trying to solve what the tech industry calls the privacy paradox.
Right, the privacy paradox. It's the idea that you, as a business owner, a creator, or just a professional, desperately want the power of advanced AI.
You want the efficiency.
Exactly. You want the efficiency, but you absolutely do not want to hand over your proprietary data, your security keys, or, your operational independence to big tech cloud servers to get it.
Yeah, you want the smarts without the surveillance. Okay, let's unpack this.
To really understand what sovereign automation is, we have to start with Duraticular's overarching philosophy. They are actively engineering what they call a post-cloud architecture.
Post-cloud.
Right. Think about the last 10 or 15 years. The entire tech world has been obsessed with centralization, right? Pushing everything to remote, massive data centers owned by a few giant corporations.
Right, the cloud. Everything
Yeah.
lives in the cloud.
Exactly. But Duraticular is looking at those centralized grids and seeing them as fundamentally fragile.
I mean, they have a point.
They do. What happens if the internet goes down? What happens if a cloud provider changes their terms of service or, heaven forbid, gets hacked? Instead of relying on that, their philosophy is entirely centered on localized resilience and decentralized trust. They want the intelligence to live exactly where the work is actually happening, on your desk, in your server room, on your farm.
And what stands out in the research report is that they aren't just trying to do this with software firewalls. You can't just download their software onto any random off-the-shelf laptop.
No, absolutely not.
They are anchoring this whole philosophy in physical hardware. They call it a hardware root of trust.
That's a crucial distinction. It runs on their proprietary edge hardware nodes. They have a stationary unit for offices called the Sovereign Sentry and a ruggedized mobile fleet unit called the Nomad.
Okay.
And they're utilizing physical verification methods to establish an unspoofable identity layer for these devices.
Unspoofable identity layer. That sounds intense. The documents mention things like radio frequency fingerprinting and dedicated TPM chips. How does that actually work in plain English?
Think of a TPM, a trusted platform module, like a microscopic physical vault welded directly onto the computer's motherboard.
Okay, weld it on.
Right. It stores your cryptographic keys in a way that makes them physically impossible to copy or steal without literally destroying the chip.
Wow.
Combine that with analyzing the unique radio frequencies the device emits, and you have hardware-level security. It means the system mathematically knows it's your specific box, not a hacker halfway across the world pretending to be your box.
Which brings to mind one of the visual sources we have. It's a design prompt showing this Sentry node. It's incredibly cinematic.
Oh, I love that image.
It describes a sleek black box, and inside the glass casing, there's this glowing, intricate blue digital sphere surrounding a solid blue shield. And right underneath it, in bright glowing letters, it says, "Zero exfiltration."
Zero exfiltration. That phrase is the bedrock of their promise to you. It means not a single byte of your data ever leaves your local network. It is entirely air-gapped from the public internet.
None of it.
None. It doesn't phone home. It doesn't send analytics to a marketing team.
Which leads us to a term they use in the internal documents that I just absolutely love, which is blue-collar AI.
Yes.
They're actively moving away from the trend of building chatbots that just write polite emails or generate poems. They're focusing heavily on practical, gritty, physical-world automation.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what Duraticular is actually doing is deploying an open-source AI agent framework called OpenClaw. But they aren't treating OpenClaw like a generic know-it-all search engine.
Right.
They package it into highly specialized, isolated deployments. Basically, the OpenClaw framework acts as an autonomous digital employee that is custom-tailored for very specific operational environments.
Let's actually look at how that digital employee functions in an everyday office environment first, before we get to the heavy machinery.
Sure.
The first confidential SSOT document we have details a product called the Sovereign Executive. It retails for a one-time fee of $199, and it is explicitly targeted at solopreneurs, private consultants, and lawyers. Basically, it turns your local Sentry node into a completely private secretary.
And the capabilities of this localized secretary are broken down into specific modules. The first is called the Scribe. It's essentially a voice-activated customer relationship manager.
So, paint a picture for us. How does a user actually interact with the Scribe?
Imagine you just finished a major client meeting. You're walking to your car. You just record a quick voice note on your phone via WhatsApp or Signal, sending it to your local node. You say something like, meeting with client A went great, they agreed to the $50K contract, send an invoice tomorrow.
Now, in a normal, modern cloud setup like using Siri or a standard dictation app, that audio recording is immediately beamed to a third-party server owned by a massive tech company to be processed, right?
Exactly. But here, the agent downloads the encrypted audio directly to your physical Sentry node. The technical specs note that it uses an AI model called Whisper to transcribe the audio entirely locally.
Entirely locally.
Yes. Then the localized large language model reads that transcript and extracts your core intent. It understands you aren't just taking a note, you are logging a $50K contract and requesting an invoice reminder.
It's acting on the intent.
Exactly. It updates your local database, essentially your own private digital filing cabinet, and messages you back confirming the task is logged.
I was looking at the section on the second module called the Archivist, and as someone with a chronically messy computer desktop, I love the idea.
It's very appealing.
It says it organizes scanned PDFs automatically. You just drop a huge batch of unorganized receipts or contracts into a folder, and it sorts them. But how is it doing that locally without sending my confidential documents to Adobe or Google to read them?
It relies on local optical character recognition, or OCR. The agent monitors that designated folder. When you drop a PDF in, it reads the actual pixels of the document to extract the text.
Without needing the cloud.
Right. Then it uses pattern recognition, the documents call it regex parsing, to hunt for specific formats like a vendor's name or a date. It renames the file perfectly, say vendor name underscore date underscore invoice dot PDF, and sorts it into the correct directory, all without internet access.
But wait, there is a brilliant piece of risk mitigation detailed in the internal documents regarding the Archivist.
Yeah.
The engineers realized that if a user suddenly dumps, say, 10,000 pages of scanned legal documents into that folder all at once,
it could theoretically max out the hardware's memory and freeze the user's entire system.
Yes, and their solution is really elegant. DReticular prevents this by using a CPU queuing method called nice value.
Nice value.
Yeah. Think of it like a VIP line at a club. The OCR processing is assigned a very low priority. It's told to stand in the slow line, processing strictly one document at a time in the background, only using leftover computing power.
That's smart.
Right. This ensures your primary system, the VIPs, like your active video calls or your typing, remains completely fast and stable, no matter how big the document dump is.
That is clever. Now, the third module for the Sovereign Executive is the Gatekeeper, which manages your scheduling. You can just text it and say, find time for a call with Bob on Tuesday, and it will check your calendar and text you back available slots.
But the SSOT document has a massive explicit privacy warning here.
It does.
The setup wizard throws a strict warning against syncing this system with Google Calendar.
Yeah, the setup wizard actually halts and throws a privacy warning modal on the screen. The reason is fundamental to their philosophy. If you sync this highly secure, localized AI with a big tech calendar, you are instantly leaking your metadata.
Because it defeats the whole purpose.
You are telling a cloud server exactly who you are meeting, when you are meeting them, and where. It completely breaks the air gap philosophy.
It's like building a billion-dollar impenetrable bank vault and then leaving the front door propped open with a brick so the delivery guy can get in.
Exactly. So instead, DReticular strongly recommends users host their own private calendar files using a local platform like Nextcloud.
Okay, so we've seen how this secures one person's data. But what happens when an entire engineering team's intellectual property is on the line? If we move up the corporate ladder from the solopreneur, DReticular has a product aimed directly at CTOs, lead developers, and security architects.
The DevOps Sovereign.
Yes. It's a perpetual commercial license for $499, and it acts as an air-gapped code reviewer what they call a log sentinel.
The technical specifics on this one are incredibly rigid. To run the DevOps Sovereign, it utilizes a localized large language model. But because this AI brain requires a massive amount of memory just to think, the installation script enforces a strict minimum hardware requirement of 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Wait, 32 gigabytes of RAM? That's massive. A standard work laptop has maybe 8 or 16 gigabytes. Isn't that a huge, expensive barrier to entry for a company to adopt this? Why force such a high limit?
It is a barrier, but it highlights a massive shift in their engineering mindset. For years, the tech industry's motto was move fast and break things.
Right.
DiRoticolor is saying, no, we enforce strict local stability. If you try to install this on lesser hardware, the script rigorously aborts the installation with a fatal error. They absolutely refuse to let the system crash due to resource starvation.
They won't even let you try.
Exactly. And to even get it to run on 32 gigs, they have to use a process called quantization.
Quantization.
Think of quantization like taking a massive, uncompressed raw photograph and shrinking it down to a high-quality JPEG. It compresses the AI's neural network so it can actually run efficiently on standard computer processors without needing a massive, ridiculously expensive graphics card.
So once you have the hardware, it just lives inside your server rack. It monitors every piece of code your team writes, looking for hard-coded passwords or logic loops. But my favorite feature is its self-healing capability.
Oh, the self-healing is amazing.
We actually have an amazing visual source prompt for this. The image shows a glowing green wireframe robot hand physically pressing a button on a dark server rack. Hovering over the hand is glowing text that reads, "Error. Service failed. Auto restart. Success."
That visual represents what Linux systems call a watchdog protocol. The DevOps Sovereign constantly monitors the health of your company's digital services. If a vital service like your company website or your internal database crashes and fails, the AI doesn't just send you a frantic email at 3 a.m.
It acts on it.
It consults a local instruction manual, automatically executes the necessary commands to restart the failing service, and verifies it's working again before notifying you that a crisis was averted while you were sleeping.
But with AI, there's always the fear that it's going to make a mistake.
Mm.
Right? We've all seen AI confidently give the wrong answer. What happens if this DevOps AI flags perfectly safe code as a vulnerability, or worse, decides to delete something important to fix a problem?
Which is exactly why DiRoticolor has implemented heavily constrained prompt engineering. They force the underlying AI into what they internally call senior sysadmin mode.
Senior sysadmin mode.
The prompt basically yells at the AI to be incredibly conservative. The core rule is, if you are unsure, do not flag it. They are actively suppressing AI hallucinations to prevent annoying false positives.
And for the really dangerous stuff.
They limit its permissions. The AI is treated like an intern. If it determines a destructive action is necessary, like deleting a corrupted database table, it physically cannot execute it autonomously. It absolutely requires human confirmation via a secure chat interface first. You have to type, yes, proceed.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We've talked about digital workflows, transcribing voice notes, reviewing code. But DiRoticolor is taking this intelligence and plugging it directly into the physical, tangible world with a product called the Industrial Foreman.
The Industrial Foreman.
This is a $299 product targeted at farmers, microgrid operators, and logistics fleet managers. And unlike the software downloads we just talked about, this is a hybrid fulfillment product. When you buy it, you get your digital license, but a warehouse also physically ships you a package.
That package contains the physical bridge between the digital AI brain and physical machinery. It's a shielded serial adapter cable packed in an anti-static bag, along with a heavy-duty laminated quick start card. Standard AI agents live in the cloud, but the foreman lives on the edge.
But how does a language model talk to a tractor or a solar panel?
It uses that cable to connect directly to industrial equipment. It acts as a translator. It takes raw legacy machine languages, the documents mention protocols like Modbus and CAN bus, and translates those electrical pulses into readable data that the AI can actually understand and act upon using a visual logic engine.
We have a visual source that perfectly illustrates how this logic engine works in what they call the grid balancer mode. It's a flowchart floating in a dark high-tech space. On the left, there is an octagon labeled solar input with a warning icon. A glowing orange wire connects it to a diamond in the center that says IF greater than 5000W.
Right.
That diamond then connects via a bright blue wire to a final box that says trigger relay.
That flowchart beautifully illustrates localized, autonomous decision-making. Imagine you are running an off-grid farm. The foreman is continuously polling your solar panels and your battery levels. If your batteries are completely full, but the sun is still blazing and generating excess power, a traditional system might just waste that energy.
Just let it burn off.
Right. But the foreman autonomously detects this condition and physically routes that excess power to what are called dump loads. It triggers a physical electrical relay to turn on a giant water heater or a water pump. It stores that energy physically as hot water rather than letting it dissipate.
And it's not just for stationary farms. They have a mode called the Supply Chain Diplomat for logistics fleets. It runs on those mobile nomad nodes installed directly in transport trucks. The system constantly reads raw GPS coordinate data.
Right.
The AI monitors the truck's physical location. When the 18-wheeler gets within exactly 5 kilometers of an international border crossing, the AI automatically compiles a list of the cargo in the back, generates a PDF customs manifest, cryptographically signs it with that unspoofable hardware key, and emails it to the customs broker via the truck's cellular connection.
It's incredible. It entirely removes the human administrative bottleneck while the vehicle is still traveling down the highway at 60 miles an hour.
But again, my mind goes to the worst-case scenario. When you give an AI the power to control heavy physical machinery flipping high-voltage relays on and off, safety is paramount.
Absolutely. And their SSOT document highlights a crucial safety feature to mitigate logic errors. The agent enforces a mandatory 5-minute hysteresis delay on all physical relays.
Hysteresis. So what is that exactly? Like a cooldown timer.
Exactly like a cooldown timer. In this context, it prevents a logic loop where the AI might get confused by a passing cloud shading the solar panels, causing the data to fluctuate wildly. Without a cooldown, the AI might panic and rapidly toggle a high-voltage switch on and off 20 times a second.
Which would cause an explosion, or at least a fire.
It would physically destroy expensive industrial inverters or battery banks in a matter of seconds. The hysteresis delay acts as an unbreakable physical dampener on the AI speed. It forces the machine to take a breath before acting again.
That transition from digital logic to actual physical consequences perfectly sets up the final product in their lineup. And this one feels like something straight out of a high-tech heist movie.
It really does.
It's called the Vault Warden, and it's part of their Privada security suite. This is a subscription service, $99 a month, and it's targeted at high-net-worth private collectors, Freeport warehouse managers, and gallery directors. But to use it, you must have their physical Privada Sentinel kit, which includes heavy-duty motorized security cameras and laser radar, or LiDAR, modules.
What's fascinating here is that the Vault Warden is not a passive recording system. Traditional CCTV just records a video of the thief stealing your stuff so you can watch it later.
Right, it doesn't stop them.
Exactly. The Vault Warden is an active autonomous defense agent. It uses a specialized 3D LiDAR processing model running entirely locally to create what they call a volumetric cage around a high-value asset.
The visual design prompts for this are incredibly cinematic. Imagine you are standing in a dimly lit, high-end concrete art vault. A multi-million dollar painting is hanging on the wall. And surrounding it, entirely invisible to the naked eye but visible on the system's monitors, is a dense glowing blue laser grid.
The LiDAR shoots out millions of laser pulses to create a precise 3D mold of the space, establishing what the software calls a baseline golden state. And because it is volumetric, meaning it understands 3D space, not just a flat 2D image, it cannot be fooled by shadows, a flashlight beam, or changes in the room's lighting.
It knows the physical space.
Right. The system constantly compares the live laser feed to that golden state mold. If there is a physical displacement of mass greater than exactly 2 millimeters within that safe zone, the system triggers an instant timestamp and alert.
We actually have a prompt showing the exact moment an anomaly is detected. The point of view is from the security camera monitor. A gloved hand is reaching toward a sculpture on a pedestal. That peaceful blue laser grid we just described has turned a violent, flashing red the exact millisecond hand breaches the zone. And the heads-up display throws an urgent warning. Volumetric anomaly detected. Delta, 5 millimeter, lockdown initiated.
And it's not just looking for a physical hand reaching in, it's also looking at the chemical makeup of the art itself using a feature called spectral provenance.
How does a camera check the chemistry of a painting?
This is where they utilize an advanced computer vision model. periodically say every 15 minutes, the motorized camera autonomously pans over and zooms microscopically into random, highly specific key points on a painting's canvas. It isn't just taking a picture. The sensors are reading the light spectrum to verify the chemical pigment density of the paint and the exact microscopic weave pattern of the canvas against that original Golden State baseline.
Okay, so let's play out the heist scenario. A master forger somehow manages to bypass the volumetric cage. They swap the real painting with an absolutely perfect visual replica. To the human eye, it looks identical. But the vault warden will instantly detect that the chemical makeup of the blue paint in the bottom left corner is microscopically wrong.
Exactly. And the consequence of that detection is severe. It triggers what Dereticular calls a ledger burn.
A ledger burn.
In their ecosystem, every physical asset is tied to a digital NFT token on a public blockchain ledger, acting as its absolute proof of authenticity. The internal documents describe a dramatic visualization of this. If the vault warden detects a pigment mismatch, it instantly sends a cryptographically signed signal to the ledger.
Wow.
The digital token tied to that multi-million dollar asset is permanently marked compromised. In the visual prompt, they depict a red X appearing over the physical forgery, while a glowing digital token beside it literally shatters into glass fragments.
That is wild. The digital wealth is burned the second the physical safety is compromised.
And while it's destroying the token, it is also executing active physical countermeasures in the real world. The system is wired directly into the building's electronics. It can instantly drop magnetic door locks, trapping the thief inside, and trigger deafening sirens in a fraction of a second. This is vastly faster than a human security guard staring at a wall of 50 monitors could ever process the threat and react.
But what if the thief is smart? What if they cut the power to the building before they go in?
The engineers planned for that. The risk documents detail a nomad failover protocol. If a thief cuts the building's AC power or jams the Wi-Fi signal, the vault warden relies on an internal battery backup to stay alive just long enough to hand off the alert packet to a built-in cellular link.
Oh, wow.
It blasts the theft alert out over the LTE network anyway. The only way to stop the alarm logic without triggering a lockdown is by walking up to the node and physically inserting a cryptographic sovereign key to initiate a maintenance mode.
The level of armored paranoia built into the system is just staggering. Most of us don't have multi-million dollar paintings, but the core idea here applies to all of us. Whether you are a solopreneur trying to automatically organize your invoices without giving your data to a tech giant, a CTO forcing an air-gapped AI to audit your code base, a farmer dynamically routing solar power to water heaters, or a gallery director protecting a masterpiece, the through line is identical.
It is. Dereticular is taking immense enterprise-grade AI processing power and locking it inside a physical box that you actually own. It is a complete rejection of the idea that our data must be processed in a corporate cloud.
So what does this all mean? We've covered a lot of ground today. We've looked at everything from localized transcription to AI that can instantly shatter digital wealth. It is a massive shift from centralized vulnerability to decentralized armored intelligence. They're giving you the power of modern machine learning, but ensuring that your operational independence, your data, and your physical security remain entirely under your local jurisdiction.
It's the realization that true security in the AI age means trusting math and localized hardware, rather than trusting a massive tech company's terms of service.
But as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We are moving into a world where our physical infrastructure, our energy grids, and our most valuable assets are increasingly governed by these air-gapped, localized AI agents. Agents that can physically lock doors, shut down heavy machinery, or burn millions of dollars of digital value in a fraction of a second, entirely autonomously. If human intuition is completely removed from the loop, and an AI instantly destroys a digital ledger based on a microscopic 2-millimeter spatial anomaly or a slight chemical pigment mismatch, does the machine effectively become the absolute unquestionable arbiter of truth in the physical world?
That is the ultimate question of sovereign automation. Who or what defines reality when the network goes dark?